This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Doing the Prep Work Right, was delivered on August 8th, 2021. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another beautiful day of your love and grace. Father, we pray for the giver and their heart that's giving. Father, we ask you to bless the tithes and offerings and just let it further your kingdom, Father. And we ask this in your son's mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, James and Jennifer. Hey, James, we're going to rename that rock. We're going to call him Faithful Rock because you got to have faith. I've seen that place. You got to have faith to go stand on that rock because literally the rock is like this far out of the water and I stand on another rock that's higher out of the ground, and I watch the waves go up and down. She's like, "Oh, that's crazy." Yeah, we would name them Faithful Rock, not Suicide Rock, because it takes faith to go on that rock. Well, good morning, my family.
Morning.
Oh, you see that nice cement slab that I want to pour back there?
Yes.
If I want to pour that, I would be buried in it. Hopefully we can get our tent up soon, and hopefully we can get this COVID thing under control because, man, it is crazy out there. We just got to stay safe and be smart. Amen?
Amen.
Man, so we're going to talk about preparation. You know, any project that you do or anything, you know, like we go camping. You ever went fishing or camping and you forgot something, something key? I went fishing one time. Somebody took me in the national park. I went, walked all that way, 20 minutes in the rain and the wind, and realized I didn't have my reels. Didn't prep so well. Didn't have a good time watching everybody fish. You know, if you got a project at home, isn't it worth doing it right the first time? And for us to accomplish everything that we need, in order for that to happen, we gotta do the prep work correctly so that the end result would be like, wow, I can put my name to that. Because there were many things that I did, and I looked, I was like, oh, I cannot put my name to that. That'd be shame. That'd be embarrassing. You know, if you're cooking, you gotta make sure you have the right ingredients. If you're baking, you gotta make sure you take that butter out of the ice box of the freezer so you can work it. Because it is hard to work cold butter into sugar and to make something. If you're gonna paint something, I mean, it's easy to just slap paint on the wood, right? How many of you just wanted to paint something, you just took out the paint and painted it, and then it peeled and it didn't stuck, maybe it had oil on there or something. It takes, you know, they say that the success of painting is 99% in your prep. Taking care of your surface, sanding it, cleaning it, getting it oil-free, primary, and that's where your success from is in all the preparation. So we need to do that in order to make sure we get the end results that we desire. You know, if you're gonna build a house, it starts with the foundation. And when you prep and you do the foundation right, when you get to the roof, it'll still be level, square, and everything would be tight. Now, if you don't, then, you know, you're gonna end up with something that's crooked, uneven, and very displeasing. I set up a swimming pool last year, didn't do the prep work correctly, and when the water went in, like 3,000 something gallons, the pole sank into the sand. So the rim of the pool went like this. And it was so ugly. I drained all that water, the hundreds of dollars of water. I drained it, I dragged the pool on the side, prepped the ground, pour a cement ring, and then moved it back. Then I was like, man, I wish I'd done this the first time. But I was kind of like, it was like 2 days before my wife's birthday, and this was her birthday present. So I kind of had to get it up, even if it did look ugly. So after I gave her the birthday present, I took it back down, and then I put it back up right. But sometimes, man, if you just do the prep work right the first time, it'll be good. You'll be happy, satisfied. Oh, I got to tell you this. Just on Tuesday, I had a colonoscopy. Whew, you guys don't like to hear that. And you know the prep work for a colonoscopy, right? Right. How many of you had one? They're terrible, yeah? And if you don't do it right, you're going to go through all that, and then they're going to send you home because you're not prepped right. So my last thing I had was Sunday night at about midnight. I had an anpan with Al. We was driving around. We went to visit James, and we was driving back, and that's the last thing I had on Sunday night. And then I didn't get to eat till Tuesday, maybe about 11 o'clock. But imagine, you know, when you're in the prep time, they say that I couldn't eat anything Monday morning after like 6. So I was thinking, after I drop Al off at home, I was going to drive to McDonald's and get one last Big Mac in. But I said, well, I better not. Cannot drink nothing purple or red. And so from 6 o'clock Monday to 4 o'clock Tuesday morning, you know, you couldn't have nothing. Just liquids all day. And 4 o'clock, nothing after that. So I really wanted to make sure I did the prep work right, because I didn't want to go through all that and then say, oh, you know what? We cannot, because you didn't do the proper procedure. So I followed, for the first time in many years, I followed the directions. Because, you know, men, we don't follow directions. I followed that. And I went in, and I came out, like, so fast. I think I went in at 6:30, and I was out by 7:15. And guess what? I got a 5-year pass. Praise the Lord. I don't have to do that for 5 years. So it's like, I have to do that, because last year this time, I just finished my cancer surgery, cancer-free the whole year. I said, wow, I can do that survivor's walk at the Relay for Life. Yeah, God is good. So we got to make sure we're gonna do the prep work for what? For life, prep work for heaven. Because I believe when we go to heaven, we're going to be spending time with God 24/7. Isn't that like great? I think we'll be singing. I mean, if you don't like singing to God now, are you going to be surprised when you get to heaven and we might be just doing that constantly? I would love that. And I think God has prepared me for that. So in order for us to prepare correctly for life, for heaven, first things first, number one, we got to make sure we accept Jesus. And I know a lot of you did. And if you didn't out there on Facebook or wherever, I mean, first things first, that's what we need to do. John 3:16, you guys know this. Would you read that with me? This is Jesus speaking. Ready, go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's first things first, man. God loves you. He sent his Son for you so that we can have eternal life. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, preparing is more than accepting Jesus. You know, accepting Jesus into your life is just the beginning. You know, after we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart, and we ask him into our lives. After we do that, then I believe we need to repent. Repent. Luke 13:3, Jesus says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So repentance is a very important part. In Acts 26:20, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also I preach that they should repent and turn to God, and prove their repentance by their deeds. You know, the way I think of repentance, I think of it is like you're going down the road, you pass some place, and you go make a U-turn. The only difference is the repentance I think the Bible is talking about is like you're going down. Not a desirable place, right? You're going down, and I was going down. Down, down, down. And God, Jesus must have a long arm because he probably had to reach close to hell to grab me and make me repent from going down to going up. And I think that's the kind of repentance that we need, that we maybe have been going in the wrong direction, downward spiral, and we repent and we turn and we come up. And not just by what we say, but our lifestyle, and like it says over here, by their deeds. You know, we're not going to be no longer driving down the highway telling everybody they're number one. Right? And that's why I get bruises on my middle finger. Maybe I did that too much in the past. I think repentance is a key ingredient to living the abundant life. And that Christ so promised us that he wants us to, he came to give us an abundant life. I think it would be such a shame to receive Jesus and stop right there thinking, okay, I'm saved, I received Jesus, I'm good. But I believe that when we receive Jesus, it is like the very beginning. It'd be a shame that we just stopped right there. Could you imagine if you went to Disneyland and you stopped at the gate? And you're at Disneyland, yeah, but you fail to experience all the things they have, the food, the turkey leg, the churros. Whew. I think that's what I miss about that the most, the food. But that could be like receiving Jesus and not enjoying the transformation, the abundant life, and everything that he promised us. So I say we accept Jesus, we repent, and then we get baptized. In Acts 2:38, Peter replied, each of you, looking in the mirror, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to show that you have received forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, then baptism. And baptism is a public declaration of your faith. Because when you receive Jesus, you may have received it here in the church. It was a prayer between you praying to God, coming into my life. That was a thing between you. We ask you to raise your hands with your heads bowed and your eyes closed because it's a private moment. We ask you to raise your hands because we get to report that to our national church office so they can keep track of things. So when we do that, it's a private moment. But when you get baptized, it's a public. You're telling the world, you're telling the devil that I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? So we repent, we get baptized, and you know, it's a good thing. You might want to write this down, that we get discipled by someone or some book or some video, but it's important that we do get discipled because we cannot, it's kind of hard to be in Christ on your own and get discipled. It's better that you do it with somebody else. Okay? So here's the thing, after we do that, prepping for life, the Bible, I don't know who came up with this saying, but basic instructions before leaving Earth. The B-I-B-L-E. Anybody know who came up with that saying, or was that just automatic, or was that But that's like, they hit that nail right on the head. The Bible is our basic instructions before leaving Earth. So what happened if you didn't read your instructions before you left Earth? Well, what would you know what you would you know what to do? You know, how many of you men take something out of a box and don't read the instructions and proceed to put things together without the instructions? How many of you succeed? One. One smart guy back there. Two. We got two smart guys back there. Right on. Once in a while, maybe a 5% chance I'll get it successfully right, because probably only got like five parts, right?
Maybe on my second chance.
Maybe on your second chance. There you go. But by the time the second chance comes around, I read the instructions. Because granted, I knew, you know, like things like the TV stand. I put the poles backwards, sideways, wrong way, and you know, it came out wrong. Why? Because I never read the basic instructions. I think we need to get this basic instructions, the Bible. We need to read it, understand it, and apply it. In Romans 15:4, and you might want to remember this scripture. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for whose instruction? You sure it wasn't for your spouse? Because sometimes when I talk certain things, I see, God talking to you, huh? That was for you. You can pay me the $10 later, but whatever was written in earlier times, written for our instruction. So that through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I just got you writing a message on hope. Because we need hope in this desperate time. So the basic instructions before leaving Earth was written so that we know what to do and we can have encouragement. So we need to pick it up, read it, understand it, and apply it. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God, again, the B-I-B-L-E, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as division of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. When I read the Bible, it really has some parts where it convicts me of like, oh, I shouldn't do this. I should do that. And that's why they say it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Because it'll cut away the junk. Reading the Bible will prepare you for everything you face here on earth. So, Kaori, make sure you take one Bible with you, okay? That you can understand. And don't just use it as a paperweight. Get into it and read. And if you need a good one, let me know. We'll get you one before you go. Because, you know, when we send our kids away, that's the constant thing that they can have. They're not going to have this church family. They're not going to have their brothers and sisters and their friends around them. But the constant thing they will have is the Word of God. So when we send them away, we just make sure we teach them how to do their devotions and how to get the gems out of the Bible. Reading the Bible will prepare us for anything here that we face on earth. It'll prepare you for relationships issues, for husband and wife issues, parents and children, health problems, decisions, temptations, trials, prosperity. Everything that we will need for instructions is in the Bible. And I wish we could get more people to read it. So we prepare for life with the basic instructions before leaving Earth. And we prepare, prepping for heaven. In John 14:3, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Because sometimes we're in troubling times right now. You know, we're not sure where this COVID thing is going to go. We're concerned. We might be worried. But Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. So you see, we don't need to fear. He has prepared a place for us. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's telling us, he's got a place prepared for us. When it is our time, he will come and get us so that we will be together. Would it be a shock to you when you get to heaven and it's full of praise and worship and glory? Will you be like, what do I do now? Do I stand up? Do I bow down? Do I lift my hands? Do I shout hallelujah? We prep for heaven here on earth. So when we get there, we're not like, oh, I didn't know we were going to worship God all day, all night. See, we accept Jesus. We repent. We get baptized. And we understand that this is part of the way we get there. We worship God in heaven all day, all night. I don't think we get to sleep. I wonder. Maybe we'll be awake the whole time. So prepping for heaven consists of this. Number one, store treasures in heaven. You know, it makes sense, yeah? If you know you're going to some place and you cannot take everything here with you, but you could like FedEx it to there ahead of time. Wouldn't it make sense? So James, don't start FedExing your tools to heaven. That's not gonna work. Or your fishing poles. But we can store up treasures in heaven. Isaiah 51:6. Lift up your eyes to the sky, then look to the earth beneath, for the sky will vanish like smoke, and the earth will wear out like a garment, and all its inhabitants will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not wane. You know, when you get an old shirt, the ones with the pukas under the arm, right? Maybe you're wearing them today. What do you do with it? You toss it out. You use it to change oil on your car, right? You use them as a rag. You say, everything in here on earth will one day be gone. Yes, sad to say, your nice car will be gone. Your nice house will be gone. Your nice Louis Vuitton bag, right, will be gone. My nice Makita tools and Al, your Milwaukee tools, all will be gone. Your fishing pole will be gone. Right? Your high heel sandals will be gone. Everything here will be gone. Luke 12:33-34. Sell your possessions, give to charity, make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, I don't think he meant that we sell everything, like our house, our cars, our clothes and everything. We'll be the ones with nothing. But we, you know, you have things that you don't use. I've been starting to purge things here and there. When I don't use them, I get rid of them. Not so I can buy a new one. All right, I know some of you want to get rid of this so you can buy a new one. You know, I think storing up treasures in heaven includes doing deeds of kindness and mercy to those in distress. 1 Timothy 6:19 says, storing up for them the treasures of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. If you have been blessed with stuff, with finances, thank God. But remember having wealth carries a great responsibility. We cannot become proud. We cannot put our trust in money. We need to use our money to be rich in good deeds, generous and ready to share. Hebrews 11:26. Consider the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Hebrews has a really good message for the earth-loving Christian. Don't forfeit eternal rewards for temporary benefits. Eternal rewards are far greater than earthly treasures. And let us use this time here on earth to prep for heaven and make sure we bring others along with us. Like I said, who will be in heaven because of you? Part of prepping for life and for eternity, I believe, is making sure others are in heaven because of what we do. I hate it for be the other way around, that they'll be in hell because of what we did. That'd be a miserable feeling. So I want you to understand, man, we gotta make sure we do this preparation correctly, so that when we come to the end of the life that God gave us here on earth, I would so love to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my kingdom." How many of you would love to hear that at the end of life? I mean, yes. So we prepare now so that when we get there, whew, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I'm going to pray so that if anybody here, out there, anywhere, needs to do the first things first, then I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray with me. Pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. Put your heads bowed and your eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, anybody, hold up your hand. God bless you over there. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And they have taken the first step to prepping for life and for eternity. So Lord, teach them, love them, show them how to walk with you in a way that would bring you glory and honor. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Hey, thank you, Jesus. You know, part of the prepping for life is why we put on these classes like the art of marriage, the art of parenting. And if you want to attend these sessions, there's a paper on the greeting table. Sign up, put your name, put your phone number as a commitment to help your preparation for life, so we can get in touch with you and make sure that we get you the directions and the time and the place of where these classes are going to go on. So would you do that? And if you're on Facebook and you would like to attend, just send me a message so that we can get you down. All right? Would you stand with me? And we're going to have this rocking worship team. Send us out with just a high of praise and worship unto the King of Kings.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Scott. Yeah, let's lift Jesus high. We want to see Jesus lifted high.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.